Good afternoon, Patriots. This is Praying Medic, and this is my Q broadcast for Monday, May 25th. Welcome to the broadcast. Hey, you know what? I've got kind of a birthday today. It was exactly 20 years ago today that I went from being an atheist to being a Christian. Met Jesus at the fire station, May 25th, 20 years ago. All right, those of you who are following Q at home, doing your own decodes, and when I am taking breaks from doing videos, that pretty much means you have to do your own decodes. You can find Q posts on a number of different websites, including qag.news and qanon.news/Q. I have heard, though I haven't confirmed, that QMap and QAlerts are no longer available in the Play Store. I've heard that Google has taken them down, so I cannot confirm, but that's what I've heard. My theme for this broadcast is it's a marathon, not a sprint. And if you are new to Q, if you need some help getting caught up to Q's operation, getting familiar with some of the terms that Q uses, or if you have friends and family that need some help with Q, you might want to check out my book, Calm Before the Storm. It is volume one in the Q Chronicles, covers the first 2 to 3 months of Q's operation. I cover a lot of themes, explain some of the signatures, like, you know, Snow White. There's a glossary in the back of the book that has over 500 terms, abbreviations, acronyms, symbols, agencies, and people that Q has mentioned. If you're not familiar with them, it'll help you understand Q's operation. Back to the decode, and I have another announcement. If you are a Roku fan, my Q decodes are now available on Roku. Thank you to Cruise News for helping doing the heavy lifting on that. If you go to qchannel.show, it'll take you to a registration page. And if you have a Roku account, you can just sign in there and check out the Q channel. Got myself In Pursuit of Truth, and we're going to have a few other Q decoders on that channel here in the coming days. We are also planning on having our videos available on Amazon Fire and Apple TV at some point in the future. And that's good, because I just got a notification from YouTube this morning that one of my video from the 16th has been taken down. I don't know how much longer YouTube is going to allow me to do Q videos, but we are trying to branch out to other platforms. So stay tuned for updates on that. Many people are worried that Barack Obama is not going to be held accountable for his crimes, particularly after recent statements made by the Attorney General Barr. Q assured us that those who are in positions of power who committed crimes will be held accountable. It's only a matter of time. So Q posted a link to a chessworld.com article about the middle game. It's an analogy, right? So if you're playing chess, you don't go after the king immediately. You first remove pawns and other pieces, and then you develop a middle to late game strategy about going after the king. So Q posted this: how about a nice game of chess? And there's a link to the article. Objective, end, checkmate, king, right? So in chess, you want to put the king in checkmate. Do you attack the king at the beginning of the game? Do you attack and remove pawns first? Do you attack and remove bishops, rooks, knights next? Do you attack and remove the queen middle to end? Because the queen protects the king. Is the game being played public or private? Do emotions affect critical thinking? Add important king control pieces, eliminate rogue elements. So this is talking about the deep state. It's important for the Justice Department to remove rogue elements in the intelligence community, National Security Council, CIA, in order, because those people protect higher up people like Barack Obama and Hillary. Add, how do you set the stage, board, regarding public opinion, optics, and then at this time, in quotes. A lot of people forget that optics are massively important. You can't just go out and arrest Barack Obama without causing a civil war. You have to set the stage. So the Department of Justice has to factually and objectively prove that there was corruption in the Obama administration in lower-level people. Once the public understands that there was corruption in the Obama administration, eventually they can work their way up to higher and higher people, and then eventually they can indict Barack Obama and other people who were higher up in the administration. And that is how the takedown is going to go. Attorney General Barr said that based on information he had at this time, Barack Obama and Joe Biden wouldn't be criminally investigated. Even if Barr had that information, it would be horrible optics for him to say that publicly at this time. So you have to read between the lines on things like that. The DOJ could not deal with the negative optics created in an election year if they announced that Biden and Obama were under criminal investigation. So I would imagine that after the November election, and after we see lower-ranking people indicted, stage will be set, and then higher-ranking people will be indicted. Q posted this: POTUS daily ingest HCQ prevent COVID-19. So that is speaking about the announcement that President Trump made that he's taking hydroxychloroquine as a prophylactic against COVID-19. And then Q writes, pre-announcement, tools, sources, data, COVID-1 versus COVID-2 analysis, etc., provided to factually challenge the narrative, right? So there's a lot of information out, a lot of testing, a lot of good information out there that challenges the narrative that hydroxychloroquine is not effective, and also challenges the narrative that COVID-19 is some kind of super flu, which it actually isn't. So Q writes, full attack versus hydroxychloroquine by the media and Dems. Why? Why wouldn't the media and Democrats want to work on all fronts to find a possible solution? Why is it immediately dismissed? Why doesn't the media and Dems want the pandemic to slow or stop? Rearrange Dem panic. Why doesn't the media and Dems want society to heal, recover? Why don't the media and Dems want people to no longer fear going outside? That's a really good question. Why do media and Dems want people afraid of going outside without masks on? Why doesn't the media and Dems want people to point the finger at China as a source? Why doesn't the media and Dems want people to return to work and live normal lives? Who benefits the most? Why does corporate media and Dems attempt to control us? Why does corporate media and Dems challenge and attack anyone who defies the pushed and coordinated narrative? Why does corporate media attempt to prevent individual critical thinking for the public? Is this about the virus or something else? Everything is at stake in this election. Q. All right. Q wrote this on the 19th. When does your enemy expend ammunition? Do you expend ammunition against a weak opponent? No, of course you don't. You expend ammunition against a strong opponent. Do you expend ammunition against a non-threat? Think critical thinking, media cluster bombs, attacks against POTUS. Critical thinking, media cluster bombs, attacks against Q. When they attack Trump and Q, they're attacking you. We are a threat to the narrative. Q posted a link to an article about Huma Abedin's ties to the Muslim Brotherhood and wrote, infiltration, not invasion, for future events, Q. So it could be that Huma Abedin's connections to the Muslim Brotherhood are going to be coming up again in the near future. Q posted links to three articles here. And the first is, this is just strange. The Wuhan Institute of Virology, the lab suspected of releasing COVID-19, has applied for a patent for the use of remdesivir to treat the virus. That's not ironic. Second article, in 2010, World Health Organization and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation announced a global vaccine action plan that hoped to make the years from 2010 to 2020 a decade of vaccines. All right, that's the second link. Third link is to the Global Grand Challenges page, which is financially supported by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And this is from 2003 to 2010, the Scientific Board of Global Grand Challenges. The member of the board is Anthony Fauci. So he's been working with Bill and Melinda Gates for a long time. All right, Q posted a link to a YouTube channel. And the YouTube channel, Naboo Leaks, hosts leaked audio clips of phone calls between Joe Biden and then-Ukrainian President Poroshenko discussing the $1 billion loan that they were going to do after the prosecutor who was investigating Burisma Holdings was fired. If you go to that channel, there's three short video clips, leaked audio, and then there's one longer one. I'm not going to put them into the broadcast. You can go there and check them out. But we have a link here that Q posted to, it's a New York Post article about how the plandemic conveniently put the Biden Burisma scandal on the back burner, almost as if it was planned. Q posted a link to a tweet by Catherine Herridge, and it is a screenshot that she posted of the declassified email Susan Rice emailed herself on the last day, January 20th, as the Obama administration was leaving the White House and the Trump administration was coming in. The email stressed how Barack Obama and James Comey insisted that everything related to the Trump-Russia investigation was being done by the book. Comey affirmed that he is proceeding by the book as it relates to law enforcement. From a national security perspective, Comey said he does have some concerns that incoming NSA Flynn is speaking frequently with Russian Ambassador Kislyak. Comey said that could be an issue as it relates to sharing sensitive information. President Obama asked if Comey was saying that the National Security Council should not pass sensitive information to Russia to Flynn. Comey replied, potentially. He added that he has no indication thus far that Flynn has passed classified information to Kislyak, but he noted that the level of communication is unusual. I'm going to have a couple of comments about this paragraph, but we're going to cover this more in later posts in this video. But for now, I'll just say that Comey lied. He noted that the level of communication is unusual. It is actually not unusual. General Flynn was the incoming National Security Advisor for President Trump, or President-elect Trump. And it is not unusual for the incoming National Security Advisor to have communications with foreign dignitaries. Nothing unusual about that at all. So for Comey to imply that Flynn's conversations were unusual was a lie, and he knew it was a lie. It wasn't true. They were using that as a pretext to continue the surveillance of General Flynn. All right, now this was on January 5th. If you remember, on January 4th, the day before, FBI was getting ready to close their investigation. They had a counterintelligence investigation of General Flynn open. Comey told Peter Strzok to keep that investigation open. What was the predicate? Flynn was having conversations with Kislyak, which Comey said was unusual. And they were going to use that as a reason to withhold information on the Russia investigation from Flynn and Trump and anybody else who potentially could cause problems. Like I said, we'll come back to this a little bit more later. So Q then posted a link to a tweet by Maverick and Sky. It is a video with Sean Hannity. I'll let you listen to this.
And breaking today, this is important. The Attorney General, Bill Barr, said Joe and Barack, they may not likely face persecution in the Durham probe as of now. Okay. Now, while the media mob is, well, visibly breathing a collective sigh of relief, they're actually missing the powerful message from the Attorney General. Pay very close attention, because the headline of what his remarks were missed by most people in the mob. Take a look.
Over the past few decades, there have been increasing attempts to use the criminal justice system as a political weapon. What happened to the president in the 2016 election and throughout the first 2 years of his administration was abhorrent. It was a grave injustice, and it was unprecedented in American history. We saw two different standards of justice emerge, one that applied to President Trump and his associates, and the other that applied to everybody else. We can't allow this ever to happen again. The Durham investigation is trying to get to the bottom of what happened.
So this has become a big point of contention. Barr saying the information that we have right now. So this Anon said, yeah, wait a tad longer. We know we're waiting patiently still. And Q said, it's a marathon, not a sprint. All right, Q posted a link to this article. Costa Rica is one of many nations using hydroxychloroquine successfully to treat COVID-19. And Q reposted a drop from May 9th about the average lockdown in China was only 16 days. And then why is the US being locked down for months? And then Q wrote, hydroxychloroquine was used in Shanghai as a first line treatment. USA lockdown versus China lockdown, non-Wuhan days, 16 days average. Mainstream media and Dems have a vested interest in censoring and attacking anything regarding hydroxychloroquine. Why? We know why. All right, Q posted a link to a tweet by the president. It's actually a retweet with a quote. President Trump said, thank you. And it's a retweet of US Patriot. I've always been anti-social media, but I finally decided to join Twitter and show my love and support for you, Mr. President. You are truly amazing, putting America first in the way you fight the hateful left and the media. Nobody else would do what you do. Truly incredible. Hashtag, where we go one, we go all. And Q asked, why did POTUS reply to a tweet from May 30th of 2019, where we go one, we go all? And that's actually the file name of this image. The file name is where we go one, we go all.png. So I think the president's just giving us a wink. And some people said, well, maybe it's to draw attention to the Bradford Files retweet below that, which was Susan Rice saying that she doesn't know nothing about unmasking. Maybe both answers are true. TTP, Anonymous Q Patriot, got queued for this video. I'll let you listen to it.
Confusion among people and misinformation surrounding face masks. Can you discuss that?
The masks are important for someone who's infected to prevent them from infecting someone else. Now, when you see people and look at the films in China and South Korea, whatever, everybody's wearing a mask. Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet. But it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is. And often, there are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course. But when you think masks, you should think of healthcare providers needing them and people who are ill. The people who, when you look at the films of foreign countries and you see 85% of the people wearing masks, that's fine. That's fine. I'm not against it. If you want to do it, that's fine.
But it can lead to a shortage of masks.
Exactly. That's the point. It could lead to a shortage of masks for the people who really need it.
So here's Anthony Fauci just a few months ago saying that we don't need to wear face masks. And yet a couple days ago, here's Anthony Fauci wearing a face mask, although he doesn't have COVID-19. Q said, reconcile. All right. Q posted a link to this article. Senate Homeland Security Committee has authorized a subpoena of Blue Star Holdings as part of its investigation into Hunter Biden and allegations of corruption related to Burisma. So the deal with Blue Star Holdings, they're essentially a PR firm, and they were hired to help Burisma make some inroads in the State Department to try to get some favors with Joe Biden ultimately. And so Q posted a link to that article. And then pulled a quote from the article. Meanwhile, Democrats on the Homeland Security Committee have decried the investigation and the subpoena, arguing that they should be focusing on coronavirus-related issues during the ongoing pandemic and prioritize it over politics. In a letter sent to Johnson on Tuesday, Senator Kamala Harris of California renewed her calls for another COVID-19 hearing, noting that the committee hasn't held one since early March. All right, and then Q writes, DNC and the media, mainstream media, echo chamber push Is this about the virus or preventing exposure of Democrat corruption? Is this about the virus or locking Republicans' controlled Senate from investigating Democrat FISA, Biden, and other corruption? Is this about the virus or the election? Q. This is definitely about keeping the Senate from investigating corruption. And I know there's a lot of people who do not like or trust Lindsey Graham, but trust me. Lindsey Graham and his Senate judiciary is going to go after Joe Biden, and they're going to go after this corruption. So are Chuck Grassley, who is charge of Senate Finance, and so is Ron Johnson, who's at Homeland Security. They're all approaching these investigations from a slightly different perspective because they all have different areas that they have jurisdiction over. Homeland Security has jurisdiction over elections and finance, obviously, financial issues. Judiciary has jurisdiction over DOJ and FBI. So they're trying desperately this lockdown to keep people out of Congress. They want to slow down these investigations. Q wrote, pandemic, dem, panic, fear, vote by mail, and obey, stay inside or face death or arrest. Tactics push will end one day after the election. Reconcile. Release of convicts from prison. Evil releases evil. Do these people care about your well-being? Do these people love America? Do anything to regain power? Q. All right, then we have this from Q on the 20th. People fell asleep long ago. People gave up control. People have been compartmentalized, divided. Divided you are weak. Divided you are taught to fight each other. Race versus race, religion versus religion, class versus class, gender versus gender. Unity is what gives people strength. Unity is what gives people power collectively. Power over government, power over a lot of other things. Unity creates peace. Unity is humanity. The world is what we make it. Q. The world is indeed what we make it. We simply need to come together and believe, and we can make the world what we want it to be. So Q posted those two screenshots. May 6th, masks off. May 8th, masks on. Reconcile. Pandemic. Q. The United Spot 1 was Q for this video. Let you listen to it.
Hello? Hello? Is this Twitter?
Yes, it is. How can I help you?
This is Mika.
Mika? Okay. What's up?
I need you to take Donald Trump off of Twitter now!
For what? What did he do?
Did you hear me?
Yeah, I heard you,
do
but
do you have any idea who I am or what I'm capable of?
No, I have no idea.
I want you to take Donald Trump off Twitter now!
For what, though? You need to be more specific.
Do you know who I am?
No, I've never heard of
you. Mika!
Who? I've never heard of you.
I'll tell you again. You take Donald Trump off of Twitter.
I know. I'm trying to find.
I'm gonna bring hell with me.
Okay.
I'm gonna use my privilege card right now.
I know,
you
but for what?
Me?
What?
You take Donald Trump off Twitter right now.
For
do you
what?
Understand me?
Hey,
you
settle
take
down.
Donald Trump off Twitter.
Settle
right
down.
Now. Do you understand me?
Hey, yeah! Hey, settle down. Take a deep breath. Hey. Hey.
Hey, Karen. Here's my new book. Free of charge!
And Q posted a link to the tweet. And then we have this. Where was Joe Scarborough at the time of death? That is a really interesting question. Obvious questions that need to be answered. Where was Joe Scarborough when Lori Klausutis suffered fatal injuries? If he was in Washington, D.C., as has been suggested, why would Lori have scheduled an 8 a.m. appointment for him in Fort Walton Beach, Florida? If he was in Florida and had no prior knowledge of her death, why didn't he show up for his 8 a.m. appointment with the people who he was going to meet? Good questions. All right, Chuck Grassley and Ron Johnson wrote a letter requesting Rick Grenell to declassify more documents showing unmasking requests made by the Obama administration going back to January of 2016. And Q posted a link and said, "Ask and you shall receive." And Rick Grenell is outgoing now. He was just acting DNI. We got John Ratcliffe coming in, and that's, I think, a good thing. And when he made a referral to House Judiciary, Devin Nunes noted, and this is regarding the investigation of Obama officials, that in their launch, in the FBI's launch of Crossfire Hurricane, the FBI relied on intelligence that came through unofficial sources or unofficial channels. Now, this is an old post from July of 2018. Normally, intelligence passed from a member of the Five Eyes Alliance, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, UK, and US, to another member comes through an official channel for intelligence sharing. However, Nunez, upon reviewing the document that formally launched the FBI's investigation, said there was no intelligence shared through that official channel, meaning that the intelligence was shared through unofficial means. Okay, so Q reposted that drop and wrote, "Important to note for future events, masking versus unmasking, incidentally intercepted versus direct target." Now I'm going to slow down here a little bit second and explain some of this. So Q is making a distinction between a number of different terms that we need to get familiar with for the coming days. So incidentally intercepted information is if the intelligence community is targeting a person, let's say by the name of Joe, and they accidentally pick up communications from a person named Sandy. Sandy's communications are incidentally intercepted. If this is normally done under FISA, and Sandy is a US citizen, her name would be masked. If Sandy was the target, her name could still be masked, but it would then be unmasked. Q then writes 702 collection minimization procedures versus CIA and Five Eyes. All right, so the FBI, when it does surveillance, typically works under 702 collection rules. Information, specifically names, have to be minimized, and to be unmasked, their procedures have to be followed. CIA does not follow those procedures. CIA does not work under 702 rules because the CIA typically surveils people outside the U.S. who are not guaranteed the protections of the Constitution. And then there's Five Eyes. So that's intelligence sharing with UK, Australia, Canada, etc. How does the CIA collect intelligence? And then Q has a link here to an executive order that it describes surveillance. CIA is not governed by FISA. Intelligence operations are conducted outside the US. FBI is under FISA. Foreign counterintelligence mission is principally domestic. So constitutional rights apply to US citizens in the country, and FBI has to follow very strict rules. CIA, different story. They're typically surveilling non-US citizens or people outside the US. Target location, US or abroad, traveling rules. This becomes relevant because General Flynn was actually in the Dominican Republic when he talked to Ambassador Kislyak on December, I think it was 29th. And had those phone calls with the ambassador. He's a U.S. citizen, but he was outside the U.S. And I believe it was a CIA and or Five Eyes surveillance that picked up his phone call. And that's the reason why none of that was redacted or masked, because I don't think it came in through FISA. I believe it came in through Five Eyes collection or CIA. Okay, so Q writes, foreign intelligence collection of U.S. persons, unofficial versus official, what central ABC agency played quarterback? Q. And then there's another signature, Q. I don't know why Q signed this post twice. I'm not sure what that's all about. I don't know if it's relevant. Could be a mistake. Q has let us know a number of times that the CIA was actually the agency that was kind of in control of most of the surveillance of General Flynn and the Obamagate surveillance. The Markets work, Jeff Carlson, is one of the best sources on surveillance. In this FISA surveillance Title 1, Title 3, and Section 702, he gives a really good breakdown on how surveillance done by the FBI is usually governed by a couple of sets of laws. One of them is called Title III, and the other one is FISA. Title III generally applies to U.S. citizens. FISA generally applies to foreign citizens. So if you need information on that, you can go there, and it's a pretty good article. Q posted a link to a 2014 article about illegal CIA surveillance done under the direction of John Brennan against the Senate Intelligence Committee. And Q wrote, worth remembering, who was a quarterback, Q. Well, Brennan was a quarterback. He was in charge of the CIA. While the Senate Intelligence Committee was investigating the CIA's use of detention and interrogation, the agency hacked the committee's computer network, read the emails of committee members, and actually made a criminal referral based on false information. So, good stuff to remember. Q posted a link to a CIA reading room document. Expand your thinking, Q. It has a couple of news articles about how the CIA has used reporters. That's an article from 1986. And then Q posted another article. This one goes to the senate.gov site, and it is about a Senate hearing on how the CIA used journalists and members of the clergy in their intelligence operations. This is from 1996. CIA has been using members of the clergy and reporters for a long time to achieve operational objectives. Then Q posted a link to an article by The Federalist, and the article provides a brief history of the FISA process and explains that the transcripts of General Flynn's phone calls to Ambassador Kislyak likely originated with a foreign intelligence agency and came to the U.S. through the CIA, which is why Devin Nunes said that a lot of this information and the documents that came in that launched Crossfire Hurricane didn't come in through official channels. That's why. Eli Lake did a deep dive into the railroading of General Flynn. If you want some really good information, I would check this out, The Railroading of Michael Flynn. It's a fairly long article, but it's in depth and gives a lot of really good information. Q posted a link to this article on Fox News. Senate has confirmed John Ratcliffe as the next Director of National Intelligence. And Q wrote, buckle up. I am buckled up. By the way, Rick Grinnell tweeted out, congratulations, Ratcliffe. You'll be the best DNI ever. Q posted a link to this video. It is a news report saying that more than 40,000 healthcare workers in the UK will be given hydroxychloroquine as a prophylactic against COVID. So Q posted a link there and said, but Team Cavuto said it'll kill you. Why are select journalists so invested with instilling fear regarding HCQ? It's been on the market for 40 years. Is this about the health and well-being of people or something else? Is this about the virus or something else? Hydroxychloroquine was first approved for medical use in the U.S. in 1955. It is on the World Health Organization's list of essential medicines, meaning it's one of the safest and most effective medicines in a health system. In 2017, it was the 128th most commonly prescribed medication in the U.S. with more than 5 million prescriptions. Q posted a link to an article about influenza deaths, and I'm just going to give you some kind of a summary here. Death from the flu is a relatively rare occurrence. More often, patients who have the flu will develop pneumonia, and then they develop respiratory failure, which leads to death. In these cases, pneumonia or respiratory failure is the true cause of death, but these deaths are usually categorized as flu-associated. And the CDC conflates the terms death from the flu and flu-associated death. They include pneumonia in the term flu-associated death, and that creates the appearance that the flu kills more people than it actually does. Q wrote this, how do you convince people a vaccine is necessary, critical? U.S. data on influenza deaths are false and misleading. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, acknowledges a difference between flu death and flu-associated death, and yet uses the terms interchangeably. Additionally, there are significant statistical incompatibilities between official estimates and national vital statistics data. Right, so national vital statistics data gives you hard data on mortality, morbidity, and official estimates are usually quite a bit off from the actual numbers. Compounding these problems is a marketing of fear, a CDC communication strategy in which medical experts predict dire outcomes during flu seasons. Apply to COVID-19 data reports queue. Now, this is a quote from the CDC article. This is not some random person making this up. Here's an example of how the CDC conflates the terms death from the flu and flu-related deaths. In 2001, the combined category of influenza and pneumonia claimed 62,034 lives, but nearly all of them, 61,777, were attributed to pneumonia, and only 257 were attributed to the flu. Now, think about this. We are often told that the flu kills about 50,000 to 60,000 people per year, but that's not true, because down here it says that between 1979 and 2002, or this is a 23-year period, the data showed an average of 1,348 flu deaths per year. The low was 257, the high was 3,006. So we don't actually have 50 to 60,000 people per year who die from the flu. We have 50 to 60,000 people a year who die from pneumonia, not the flu. And interestingly enough, in this report up here, where 61,000 out of 62,000 deaths were actually pneumonia, only 18 of these cases was the flu positively identified. So the flu is a much less likely cause of death than people have been told. On last Thursday, the DOJ announced that charges were being filed against Judge of Elections Dominic DeMuro for stuffing ballot box for Democrats in exchange for payment by a political consultant. And Q posted a link to that article and said, welcome to the D party. I thought that election fraud was just a myth. MAGA Mama for Freedom, at Q for this video. Let you listen to it.
Well, and I think that the dangerous, you know, edges here are that he's trying to undermine the media, trying to make up his own facts. And it could be that while unemployment and the economy worsens, he could have undermined the messaging so much that he can actually control exactly what people think. And that is our job.
Yeah, if you look at
that is our job.
Yeah, if you look at the
Q said worth remembering. All right. Q reposted a drop from July of 2019 along with a link to an article. And the drop from 2019 had to do with the surveillance of SC Sarah Carter and JS John Solomon. And Q wrote, surveillance has been terminated, sleep well, Q. And then reposted that. Here's the link to an article worth remembering, soon, Q. So this apparently is going to be coming back in the headlines, and the article is about the request made to the State Department by former Ukraine Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch to monitor the communications of U.S. reporters in the country. So I guess we're going to be finding out more about that. All right, so we looked at this document, Susan Rice's email that she sent herself about things being done by the book. Q posted a link to that a Catherine Herridge tweet, and we'll get to that in just a second. But I was thinking that maybe there's another reason why Comey and Obama said everything was being done by the book. Most of us assume that Rice's insistence that things are redone by the book was for absolving, the purpose of it was to absolve the Obama administration of the appearance of wrongdoing. But maybe there was another purpose for it. If their goal was to hide information about the Trump-Russia investigation from General Flynn and Donald Trump, is it possible that the by the book reference gave Comey a reason to conceal the information from them? Comey claimed that General Flynn was being too cozy with Russian Ambassador Kislyak. He claimed there was an appearance of impropriety. Even though Flynn's phone calls were perfectly normal, Comey used them as a reason to keep the FBI's investigation open. Comey had an open counterintelligence investigation against Flynn, and it was predicated on Flynn talking to Kislyak. And indirectly, that investigation allowed them to surveil the Trump administration. So the predicate of the investigation was collusion with Russia. And if things were going to be done by the book, Comey would be required not to give information about Russia to Flynn or Trump. So I'm just, you know, thinking out loud here, thinking maybe there's another reason why they said things were being done by the book. And maybe both of them are true. All right, so Q, most of the screenshot of that document and wrote, relevance regarding Susan Rice, in brackets, top secret D-class paragraph. From a national security perspective, Comey said he does have some concerns that incoming National Security Advisor Flynn is speaking frequently with Russian Ambassador Kislyak. Comey said that could be an issue as it relates to sharing sensitive information. President Obama asked if Comey was saying that the National Security Council should not pass sensitive information related to Russia to Flynn. Comey replied, potentially. So Q then writes, what was really discussed during the January 5th meeting? Okay, we have Hussein in brackets. Did Obama issue an order preventing the sharing of intelligence regarding Russia? Would such an order shield Obama administration from discovery regarding Obamagate? Would such an order shield Clinton camp from discovery regarding the Clinton DNC Russia collusion? Would such an order be known to POTUS, Trump, or would it be classified? If it was classified, how could it be discovered? NSA Director Mike Rogers steps down, retire date. NSA Mike Rogers, Trump Tower, TT, SCIF secure date. Brennan, Clapper, and Carter push to terminate NSA Director Mike Rogers. What was the date? Washington Post. Heads of the Pentagon and National Intelligence Community have recommended to President Obama that the Director of the National Security Agency, Admiral Mike Rogers, be removed. The recommendation delivered to the White House last month was made by Defense Secretary Ash Carter and DNI James Clapper, according to several U.S. officials familiar with the matter. How do you circumvent the shadow intel community? We have a link to an article from The Intercept. Cover that in a minute. Then Q writes, critical thinking. What did Susan Rice declass January 5th White House meeting reveal? Russia intel hold. So it revealed that they were going to withhold information regarding the Russia investigation from Trump, Flynn, Jeff Sessions, anybody else who was involved. And Q writes, how do you add layers of protection? Install a special counsel to lock, freeze everything related to Russia. Right, so if Flynn gets involved in the Mueller investigation regarding Russia, he can't talk about any of this. If you get Jeff Sessions to recuse himself from the Russia investigation, he can't talk about it. Right, so you freeze up everybody so they can't discuss it. Instruct and coordinate with National Security Council, intel community, Schiff, arm's length, to initiate whistleblower allegations 1-9. So Adam Schiff coordinates with people like Colonel Vindman and Eric Caramella to drum up a fake whistleblower complaint so they can then impeach the president in the House. Then Q writes, instruct Congress to file articles of impeachment. Coordinate with China to terminate economic and unemployment gains. Initiate lockdown due to health concerns. Push fear through the DNC media. Instruct governors under control to enact vote by mail. Coincidence, January 15. So these three things happened on January 15th. Impeachment articles delivered to the Senate after being held for a month. China phase one. USA clawback deal signed. Right, so the USA is going to get back billions of dollars from China. That deal was signed January 15th. First COVID-19 case lands in Seattle, January 15th. All assets deployed, win by any means necessary. Everything is at stake. Welcome to the shadow presidency of Barack Hussein Obama. Q. 2 days after the election, Barack Obama and Donald Trump met at the White House, and Obama warned Trump not to hire General Flynn. According to NBC News, that happened within 48 hours of the election, so November 10th at the latest. Lee Smith, in this article on Tablet Magazine, how Russiagate began with Obama's Iran deal domestic spying campaign. Smith argues that Obama's real fear was that General Flynn was going to expose the secrets that were contained in the Iran deal, and that's why they had to get rid of him and silence him. All right, according to Washington Post, Admiral Rogers met with the Trump transition team at Trump Tower secretly on November 16th, 2017. That meeting led Ash Carter and James Clapper to demand that Obama fire Admiral Rogers, of course. If they would have fired Rogers at that time, it would have let everyone know that they were up to no good, so it didn't happen. Q posted this in July of 2019, Attorney General and Rogers meeting. Durham and Rogers meetings. Why did Rogers retire? Why did Rogers visit POTUS at Trump Tower without authorization? Shortly after a SCIF was installed. Why did select members, former ABC directors, call for the removal of Rogers? Why did POTUS move his transition command center, base of operations, from Trump Tower the very next day? The day after Rogers briefed the transition team at Trump Tower, they moved their operations to the Trump Golf Course in Bedminster, New Jersey. Q posted a link to this article. It's on The Intercept, and it's about President Trump considering the possibility of using private intelligence assets like Eric Prince and his his people to go around the corrupt government intelligence apparatus. And I would guess that a lot of that has already been operationalized, probably. Q then again reposted this drop from May 9th, and it's about the average lockdown in China was 16 days outside of Wuhan. And Q posted a link to the definition of common sense, the basic level of practical knowledge and judgment that we all need to help us live in a reasonable and safe way. Q. All right, common sense tells you that this is not about the virus, it's about the election. This was from the 24th. Q posted a photo of an Iranian official who attended a meeting in Paris in 2018. The official just happened to be there at the same time that Secretary of State, former Secretary of State, John Kerry was there. Here's the Iranian official, and there's John Kerry. And Q writes, "Welcome to the shadow presidency of Barack Hussein Obama." Q. And I did an image search and came up with these images. They were taken by Jason Osborne. He took a series of photos and posted them on Twitter. And that caused speculation that Kerry was meeting with Iranian officials in Paris in an attempt to salvage the Iran deal, despite the fact that Kerry had no authority to represent U.S. interests. There's an article, news article, about these pictures from May 14th. This meeting in Paris was on or around May 14th of 2018. That was a week after President Trump tweeted this, U.S. does not need John Kerry's possibly illegal shadow diplomacy on the very badly negotiated Iran deal. He was the one that created this mess in the first place. Now that tweet came 3 days after this article, which was about Kerry's attempts to salvage the Iran deal. So, all related. Then Q posted a link to a Forbes article and said, worth remembering. The article explains how Obama weaponized the Treasury Department, the IRS, and other agencies against his opponents, including a lot of Republicans. And then we have this, it's a link to an article by The Guardian. Q writes, the shadow presidency. The article talks about how 4 months after his inauguration, Donald Trump made his first visit to Europe. Coincidentally, Barack Obama was there at the same time. So why is Obama traveling around Europe at the same time Donald Trump is traveling around Europe? Meeting with leaders, trying to convince them that Trump is not going to be in office much longer. What is a shadow president? And then Q posted another link to an article by The Independent and wrote the shadow presidency. That article talks about how Barack Obama met with Xi Jinping and Prime Minister Modi of China and India right after President Trump met with them in his tour of Asia. So Q has asked us, you know, why does Barack Obama go to these countries either before or after President Trump? Well, suggesting there's a shadow presidency going on. Unlike prior presidents in this article, they noted that Obama has criticized Trump, including his policies on immigration, health care, and his decisions to pull out of the Paris Climate Accord and end the Iran deal. All right, 2020 QAnon got cued for this tweet, noting that according to a recent model, the plandemic should be over by November. Convenient timing. Q wrote, "Fear not, all will be well right after the election." Is this about the virus or the election, Q? Of course, that's Q being sarcastic. PragerU was cued for a video explaining the truth about the Democrat and Republican parties and their records on civil rights. Listen to this.
Since its founding in 1829, the Democratic Party has fought against every major civil rights initiative and has a long history of discrimination. The Democratic Party defended slavery, started the Civil War, opposed Reconstruction, founded the Ku Klux Klan, imposed segregation, perpetrated lynchings, and fought against the Civil Rights Acts of the 1950s and 1960s. In contrast, the Republican Party was founded in 1854 as an anti-slavery party. Its mission was to stop the spread of slavery into the new Western territories with the aim of abolishing it entirely.
And then Q wrote, "How do you change the narrative if facts are not on your side? How do you con the people? Form the Congressional Black Caucus, 1971, compartmentalize and label. Recruit and control black community leaders. What is their net worth? Each person. Alter, change, modify history in classrooms regarding the Democrat Party history. Use corporate DNC media, mainstream media, push, con. Use these above steps 1, 2, 3, and 4 to drive an echo chamber, false, idiotic narrative that the bad pro-slavery Democrats switched to the Republican Party and the good anti-slavery Republicans switched to the D Party. Welcome to the D Party, Q." Q wrote, "Only when information, truth, becomes free, uncontrolled, will people awaken to the levers of control placed upon them. Only then will people find the will to change. Only then will people regain control, power." Q. Caddy K, a mainstream media shill, took a swing at POTUS on Memorial Day. The headline is brutal, but it's also accurate. Ripping on Donald Trump for actually going golfing after 3 months of not being on the golf course. He goes golfing once, and the media attacks him. Q wrote, "Nobody is buying what you're peddling, selling any longer. The MSDNC is dead." And there's a link to a YouTube video. And here is the video.
On Saturday, former President Barack Obama went golfing at the Robert Trent Jones Country Club in suburban Virginia. He's a member there. Obama was driven to the course about 40 miles from his home in the District of Columbia by a government chauffeur. Here's a picture of it from Politico. If you look, you can see that Obama is clearly enjoying himself. And honestly, why wouldn't he be? It's beautiful out on the links and airy. You'll notice there aren't many people around, and that's because both Virginia and Washington, D.C. are still under quarantine. Everybody else is locked at home, as they have been for more than a month, but not former President Obama. For him, golfing at his country club was an essential activity. Now, 2 days later, after this picture was taken, the beleaguered residents of Washington, D.C. began to receive a public service announcement on their phones. The message had been recorded at the request of the D.C. government by Barack Obama's wife, the former First Lady, Michelle Obama. Here's what the message said.
"Remember, we urge you to stay home except if you need essential health care, essential food or supplies, or to go to your essential job."
Stay home except for essential health care, essential food, essential jobs. That is Michelle Obama's message to you. It didn't seem to occur to her that those standards might also apply to her family. And that's why she didn't mention essential trips to your country club.
No hypocrisy there. All right, this is from the board. And this goes back to Q's statement about "fear not, all will be well after the election." Of course, that was sarcasm. The Anon said, "Fear not, all will be well right after the election." Here we are. Not all will be right after Durham. Q is quelling us until the Democrats steal the election. What does the election have to do with justice? And Q wrote, he posted a link to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary definition of sarcasm. Reread drops regarding COVID-19, virus, and the election. Last line should clarify. Is this about the virus or the election? Q. So Q sometimes uses sarcasm and some people don't pick up on it. This Anon said, sorry you had to explain that. This board isn't what it was. Q said, popularity, growth, drives a general, non-autistic expansion. But the hive mind is alive and well. And this Anon said, damn right, Q. We're on course, on glide path. Anons are on it. Q responded, ILS approach looks good. And for those of you who don't know, ILS approach, instrument landing system. Just Q having a little banter with the Anons. And that gets us caught up to Q for the last week. Thank you so much for your patience waiting for me to get this broadcast out. If this broadcast has helped you, you might want to support me on Patreon. Link is in the description box. You can also check out my book, Calm Before the Storm. Link is in the description box. Please keep me and Denise in prayer. Keep Q and the team in prayer. Keep President Trump in prayer. Love you all. Take care. I will catch you on the next broadcast.